Okay, great. So, welcome everybody to the 2018 edition of the Debian Electronics Buff. This is meant to be an opportunity for us to share information about what's happening with packages that are used for electronics design and related tasks that are in Debian. It's a little bit different than last year. Last year, I asked for a Debian Electronics Buff because we were sort of in what I thought was a slightly desperate situation with not enough people working on the electronics packages to even sort of maintain the status quo. And I'm very pleased that several folks have sort of popped up since the session last year. And as a result, I personally think things aren't in too bad a shape at the moment, but very much the same as in the past. I think there's a real value in our sort of talking as a team and as people who are interested in these packages. So I was going to propose that maybe a good way for us to spend the time today is to talk a little bit about progress that's been made since last year. I'm happy to talk about a little bit of that, but then others of you that have been working on things are using various electronics packages that know more about those packages than I do, I hope will chime in. I assume there's got to be, it looks like there are a couple of mics down there we can pass around to, there's one in front here and one there on the table. So when the time comes, we can pass those around. I have one open question about packages that I'm helping to maintain in the electronics team that I'd love to talk about just a little bit. And if there are other open questions with other packages within the electronics realm, this seems like a great chance for us to talk about those. And if there's any decisions we can help drive towards, that's great. And then generally, you know, what can we do going forward to do an even better job of maintaining the various electronics tools that are packaged in Debian? And for those of you who don't know, I went ahead and stuck the URL on the slide here so it would be quite visible in the video and so forth. As to where you can sort of find the root of pointers to follow about things that are happening in the electronics team. So I think for lots of teams in Debian, not just electronics, one of the big things that's happened in the last year was we moved a bunch of package repositories over to the new Salsa infrastructure within Debian. And in the process, there was a little bit of sort of name shuffling and cleaning up of the group name. So electronics-team is where you'll find all the electronics-related packages within the Salsa infrastructure. I looked earlier today, and as of this morning, we have 15 current members identified in the electronics team on Salsa, which is pretty cool. I don't know that all of those are actively working on stuff, but we've had a couple of folks join just, I think, in the last few days, and hopefully we see continued interest going forward, more people wanting to join the team. I think I counted about 26 source packages that are currently in the electronics team group there. There are, I think, other pieces of software that are flagged as being in the electronics section in Debian that are not currently on Salsa under electronics team, and there's, of course, nothing wrong with that. But I would certainly encourage anybody who's maintaining electronics-related software in Debian that's not already inside the electronics team to at least consider the idea of joining the team, helping to maintain the collective set of packages that are useful for electronic stuff, and maybe getting some help maintaining the pieces that they're working on outside of the context. And then sort of the last thing that I think I can do reasonably effectively, because I am sort of in the middle of it, is talk a little bit about what's going on with the particular schematic capture and printed circuit board toolset that I use the most, which is the GPL EDA or GEDA suite. And so let me just rattle through a little bit. The sort of main design capture tool, sort of schematic level capture tool, is this thing called GEDA GAF, which produces the schematic tool GSCAM and various related stuff. There have been some minor packaging updates in the last year, but we're still on upstream stable version 1.8.2. There has not been an upstream stable release in a really long time. And I will tell you that I personally see crashes in GSCAM from time to time. And there's a really weird rendering bug where every once in a while it's like text rendering just goes berserk. And if you refresh the screen or change the scaling or something, it fixes itself. And so there are clearly things that, you know, even as a regular user of the tool, I stumble over all the time, but just haven't been motivated to try and track down. And part of the reason for that is that Upstream is now up to something like version 1.9.2, which they explicitly tag as an unstable release. On the other hand, when you ask questions about things, it's not unusual on the list to be to have it pointed out that, oh, that's fixed in, you know, current head in the repo. And so one of the things that I find myself scratching my head about is if/when it would make sense for us to package the Upstream unstable 1.9.2 if, in fact, it turns out to fix some of the known bugs in 1.8.2. But I haven't sort of, you know, gotten enough enthusiasm or momentum towards doing that to actually do something. If there's anybody else here that is using GSCAM and Friends and has an opinion about that, I'd love to hear it. If there's nobody in the room that's using the stuff and folks who are watching the stream or see this video later want to send me email and give me thoughts, that would be great. I'm one of multiple people who helped to maintain that set of packages in Debian, so I'm not the only person with an opinion. Does anybody have something they want to throw out right now about that, or is everybody kind of not caring, whatever I do is just fine? Yeah, smiles around the room. Okay. The second thing I'll mention is I mentioned last year that the GEDA GAF package was being forked by another Upstream community to create a set of tools called Lepton EDA. Lepton as a name is a little bit unfortunate because there is already a Lepton for a totally unrelated thing packaged in Debian, but you know, that's our lives. It appears to me, though I haven't really been following it super closely, that 1.9.4 is the latest Lepton release. They forked, I think, late in 2016 and have been working. I have not seen anybody actually package that for Debian. I guess one of the things that we could consider is whether that's worth packaging and bringing in, either in addition to or in parallel to packaging the 1.9.2 version of GEDA GAF. My only concern about that has to do with sort of the extent to which either or both of those teams is paying attention to the PCB R&D fork of PCB, which I'll get to in a second. With respect to the tool PCB, which is the printed circuit board design tool in this particular suite, in the last year that's been updated from version 4.0.something to 4.1.2. Mostly bug fixes, a few changes in the way units are recorded in design files. So if you use the current version of PCB, you want to be a little careful about thinking that you could go back to previous versions and not have a little bit of a data issue with the file format being tweaked. But right now, 4.1.2 is working just fine for me and all the things that I do. However, there was this project I talked about some last year. It's a fork that's been going on now for at least 4, maybe 5 years of PCB, which is now essentially a completely new tool called PCB-R&D. Some really dramatic percentage of the source code has now been replaced. A lot of internal data structures and code structures have been reworked. PCB-R&D is interesting to me because it allows me to sort of carry forward all of the designs I have in PCB and all of the effort that I've put into library parts for both schematics and printed circuit board work, and in general, the same process flow for moving from schematic capture to printed circuit boards and so on that we have with PCB. But PCB R&D has a new file format. It now encapsulates the concept of pad stacks within footprints, and sub-circuit support exists. And one of the things that there's really no easy way to do with a footprint in PCB that you can do in PCB-R&D is have features in the outline layer, which means things that printed circuit board shops need documented in the outline layer for creating things like slots for tabs on a part don't have to be quite as hackishly handled as they were in the past with PCB. So I'm personally actually looking at moving some or all of my designs over from PCB to PCB-R&D in the next year, starting with a design that I'll probably be moving, you know, next week. As a result, I've been personally packaging PCB-R&D and tracking upstream quite closely, and that's currently at version 2.0.0-1, which is the latest upstream release. And then I was just, people ask all the time, so I put one of the examples of a board that Keith and I did in this tool chain. That circuit board's about, I don't know, yay big. It's a whole lot bigger on the screen than it is in real life, but for those that are watching the stream and trying to figure out what electronics tools are all about, it's to allow you to design things like this. So with that, the stuff that I feel like I have to contribute to the BOF is pretty much done. Things that I think would be really interesting to hear from somebody else about are the status of the KiCad tool chain for doing printed circuit board designs and that other major tool set, if there's anybody here that wants to talk to that. Noodles, I know that you've been doing work on things like OpenOCD that are also in this space. It'd be really cool to sort of hear what's going on there and what the status is. And anybody else that has stuff that you'd like to offer, sort of progress and status reports since this time last year, that would be really great. There's a couple of microphones down here. If we could kind of, if anybody that wants to add some additional progress stuff would jump in, let's do that, and then we can open up and take questions.
So OpenOCD wasn't in great shape last year. I've pulled it to the latest upstream release and sort of triaged a bunch of the bugs. We had one particularly embarrassing security issue this year that involved me having to do backports to pretty much every release that we currently had out there at the moment. I think the main thing about it is I'd like to see a new upstream release. It doesn't actually have ARM64 support. It's like 0.10 is the current OpenOCD release, and it's from January 2017. And they've done a lot of work upstream on getting ARM64 support working in it, and that would be nice to see. I don't really want to get involved in doing a backport of upstream work on that because there's just been so many changes of that. But I've had a few interactions with upstream, so I might poke them and go, hey, any odds? The other piece I've been working on is the whole SIGROC toolchain. So that's logic analyzer. Upstream is actually a Debian developer, but just didn't have time to look after it. So I took over from that, and again, it's up to date. That's actually been quite useful for me because it's now working in ways that it wasn't previously. I got a question in terms of electronics design. We cover in the team, we've got some tools that are about electronics tools such as JTAG and Logic Analyzer. The other piece that I know you and I have discussed, BDL, are compiler toolchains for embedded devices.
Yeah.
So I did a rather cack-handed NMU of SDCC this week, but it seems like a tool that is useful for embedded devices that very much fits in the embedded space. Today I've been spending some time on a full GCC toolchain for the ESP at 266, which again doesn't fit into anything that runs Linux. It's an embedded space processor. Now, SDCC is small enough, I can say, right, I think that should be part of the team. A full GCC port seems a little bit too heavy, but I wondered what anyone else's opinions on the whole matter were.
I'd actually, Keith, if you wanted to jump in and talk a little bit about the GCC ARM for embedded things that you did. I know you and I are planning to talk about that in more detail tomorrow, but the part of it that might be relevant here about, you know, where's that package in the archive and where does that stuff live and is this relative to it?
Yeah, we have a, wow. The GCC can obviously be compiled for a bazillion different targets. One of the targets that we have for ARM right now is obviously the regular Linux ARM compiler. What I needed instead was GCC compiled without any libc dependency so that I could use GCC in a libraryless embedded environment. That turns out to actually be impossible. GCC requires a libc, but you can compile it without any operating system requirements. It doesn't depend upon any operating system infrastructure. So there is in the archive a GCC ARM none EABI, which is to say it doesn't depend on any operating system interface. And it uses the EABI. And in an embedded environment, you don't care what the ABI is because there's no library there. One of the big problems that I've had with embedded systems is finding a libc to use. In the GCC AVR world, there's an AVR, a special libc for that tool chain. SDCC comes with a libc for SDCC. GCC ARM-none EABI depends upon Nanolib. Nanolib actually requires a POSIX operating system under it in the default compilation mode. So we actually don't have a good libc for embedded systems yet. I've been hacking around with a Nanolib that replaces the standard I/O bits from Nanolib with the standard I/O that comes with the AVR libc, and that's almost a good idea. It's really a very nice little embedded standard I/O library that I'm pretty fond of. Obviously, it's not high performance, but in my embedded environment, standard I/O is used for debugging only. So it'd be great if we had some standard mechanism, common mechanism across platforms for a libc that was used for embedded systems. Nanolib's as close as we have right now, but it's not quite there. The way that I initially packaged the GCCR ARM-none EABI compiler was to take our standard libc, our standard GCC source, had a set of patches on top of that, so it had a build dependency on the GCC source package, which is not a source package, it's a binary package in the repository that actually installs the source code to GCC in your system. So when you install the GCC source package, you get the sources to GCC installed in your machine in a way that you can then compile, build a compiler from them. So all of our usual GCC targets use that package as one of their build dependencies and then just compile it with the appropriate options. That's what I did with the original port of the GCC ARM-none EABI compiler. Right now, another person who's maintaining that package, August, I'm not sure, Augustin Henze has decided to instead incorporate the sources to GCC into the package. I'm not quite sure why. I may go reinvestigate that. But it's really useful if you're building an embedded GCC toolchain to use the standard Debian GCC sources. That way you get the common upstream set of, somebody else is maintaining the bulk of your compiler, which is awesome. So you get security fixes, you get upstream integration, you get backports, that kind of thing. So that's a really great way to start, and I think I'm gonna go fix the ARM EABI none one. I know Noodles has been doing that for his tool chain. So it makes a really small source package. You literally have a build dependency on the GCC source package. A small set of host-specific patches, which could eventually get integrated into our shared GCC source package, and then just here's the target architecture. Go build a compiler.
So I guess there's two detailed questions then. One is what section of the archive should that package live in, and is it something that sounds like it would be appropriate to put under the electronics team on Salsa, or does it just live somewhere else and we don't care? And more precisely, to answer, help answer Noodle's question of what should he do with the ESP version of this if he ends up building something he wants to put in the archive?
I don't know what area it should live in.
Yeah, good question. I'm not really sure I know either. And this is one of those things where it's like, okay, who's going to care for this? Well, it's unclear to me that anybody outside of electronics team space is really going to be wildly enthusiastic about embedded systems programming, which is where these compilers really get used, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe a different, and I have no answer for this embedded systems, but a different question is, we have a lot of electronics packages maintained in Debian Science team, and we have a lot of packages maintained by non-team. Do you intend to try to get this same under your same policy in your same Salsa group? Because I think this would make perfectly sense to collect the electronics people.
Do you have an example or two of the packages?
Sure. Do you know this Blends page of Debian Science Electronics, and you can show and then all people can see? I have lots of... I can pronounce the... Or should I put it in IRC, the link?
I'm not on IRC at the moment.
So then I will tell you. It's blends.debian.org.
Hang on one sec.
Yeah.
We could actually to a browser. And I need to shove it over there. Hang on. Hey, that actually almost worked. Wow. But I can't see it now. Oh, I get too complicated sometimes. Sorry, people. Okay, so where is it?
Blends.
L-A-N-C-E?
Blend? No, Blends.
Blends, 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 sorry.
blends.debian.org/science/tasks/electronics. Electronics, there's a C missing.
Yeah, if only I could see what I was doing. Electronics.
With S, yes, enter. And there you see a list of all those packages which somebody, most probably not you, considers electronics relevant.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The Arduino stuff is another kind of weird example in this space, right? Because it's also like, I guess it depends on GCC AVR, or does it? I don't know. But it certainly provides an IDE on top of that.
And you have a lot of packages maintained by Debian Science maintainers, private people, and there are only a very few, the minority is maintained by the Debian Electronics team. And my question is, would it make sense to invite those people like Milan Kuchevitz to package AVR dude in the Debian Electronics team, use the same policy and enable all maintainers doing applying something?
Sounds like so much work. I'm pretty relaxed about it, actually. I mean, I love the fact, for example, that AVR Dude is packaged in Debian, yeah, but sure. I don't, as to where it happens, do you have a sense one way or the other? Would you love to
see some of these things go away? I did this with the Debian Med stuff because this was the only way to make sure that we have all package maintained in kind of the same quality and makes them up to date. And so I'm not sure how it's with the electronic stuff, but we also...
Yeah, so there's an interesting overlap here because the GEDA stuff, I mean, it's mentioned here, but that is actually, that's the GEDA GAF package in the electronics thing. GCC AVR is showing up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another,
I even don't know who is maintaining this list. These Blends tasks are maintained by Debian Science people, and the only thing you give is depends package name.
Okay, so this is a
somebody
blend.
From the.
I get it. So this is a task which contains a list of packages that people think are relevant to science/electronics.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, so there's no particular. So this is the same problem I identified before, that there are a lot of things electronics people care about that are not actually within electronics team.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, what I care about is that they're actually being attended to.
Okay.
And if they're being well maintained and nobody's stressed about it, I don't care if it's under electronics team or not. Okay. I would certainly invite anybody whose package shows up somewhere like this.
This is what I mean, yeah.
If anyone who maintains a piece of software that's in Science Task Electronics wants to come, put that package on Salsa under electronics team and collaborate with the rest of us, that'd probably be just fine.
One further remark, please.
I want to respond to one of your points. I think you have either I'm not aware of it or we just don't have one, but there's no coherent policy between the team about how the packages are maintained. It's a central point where people are maintaining packages, but we don't have a team-wide, this is how you do things. There's some advice that goes on the list, but don't put too much stock in that. It's a convenient place to put packages that I think are often used as tools for the thing you want to get done rather than the end and of themselves, and therefore having lots of people who are potentially interested able to work in them is the benefit the team offers.
Yes, we don't have like one grand unifying how we're going to package things policy. We are very much loosely organized in that there are many packages of the 26-ish source packages in the electronics team that I've never looked at or used, much less work on. So it's, yeah. I don't think we have a really simple answer, but I would certainly invite anybody maintaining a package that's on this list to consider whether joining electronics team would be helpful.
My point is that the Debian electronics team is not widely known under the Debian maintainers.
It had almost completely vanished this time last year. And so what we're trying to do is kind of get things back up to speed. And honestly, if someone came to me at some point and said, you idiot, why aren't you doing it some other way? I think, you know, we would all smile and go, thanks for educating us. But right now, those of us who are actually working on the packages that are in the electronics team repos don't know of anywhere else to put them. So
I think I have quite a good overview about all this kind of topic-related stuff, and the electronics was kind of escaping of my
attendance.
So. And the other thing is, I want to say is, would one of the team mind about maintaining this task inside the Debian Science team? Because this task is probably quite often, and some at some point in time has somebody sat down and said, what's electronic relevant, and put on this list. But this is probably we have more packages that are relevant for electronics and not mentioned here, and maybe there is some stuff inside which is questionable. So this would be really cool if somebody from the team who knows the stuff would check this task.
I'm curious enough to at least take a look at it one time. Yeah. I don't know that I'm willing to commit to trying to help maintain this.
It's not about you, but if you have 15 people.
That's part of the answer, though, is I personally am interested enough. I will take at least one look at it. Maybe some of us can sit around in a hack lab or something and scroll through and see what's interesting. In particular, if there are things that pop out as not being well maintained at the moment that we ought to try and suck in and, you know, rescue the packages as was being discussed this morning, then, you know, maybe that's a way to identify some potential targets. Did you have something else you wanted to throw in or just the right? So is there anybody here that uses or helps maintain the KiCad toolchain? Carson, you want to talk about that a little bit? What's happened in the last, or any of you,
I'm not maintaining the KiCad library, but our company use KiCad to develop electronics devices. So we are trying to make some patches for new features for KiCad. Maybe we can push that patch into the upstream. This is what we are going to do.
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Carsten. I'm packaging the KiCad package since 2 years, I think, now. Yeah. And yeah, just to mention, patches welcome, plus please go upstream. That's the best way to do. I don't want to add patches that just exist in Debian and other people and users would also use for NEPFO. And I don't want to diverge much from upstream. So the correct way would be please go upstream first. Yeah, KiCad 5 is alive now for 3 weeks,
two weeks.
Yeah, this was a little bit
difficult
sometimes.
A big project, yes.
Not from the Debian side, more from the upstream side. People are happy to get new contributors and two new maintainers, and it's a little bit sometimes, say it, a chaotic, but okay. We've done it. I've got some communication with Jean Renault, I think it's the name. He's doing the PPA for Ubuntu, and we got some common sense how to do the package layout, and so we mostly found we're now given packages or living packages. So they can live in Debian and Ubuntu as well. And if people are using the PPA, it's not that big hassle for users. So it's just an upgrade of packages. And if we go down, okay, we don't use PPA. I also got some conversations to upstream as well. And mainly I do also the German localizations. If I got time in the past few months, I got not that much time to update the documentation for the e-schema and all the tools inside. So I mainly get focused on updating the documentation of the LTNN strings. And Yeah, ng-spice is still living in UQ. If someone wants to poke with FTP masters, it's living since 2 months now. And I would be happy to enable also some simulation stuff once ng-spice is enabled, accepted into main, because upstream was very friendly and communicate also to me and take a big advantage to just with version 28 get rid of all the non-free stuff.
Yeah, I was excited to see that.
Yeah. But this was quite easy, more or less. We just
so that's
need
still
to
sitting
pull
in.
What kind of stuff would be needed to be done? And
right.
I say, what? Okay, we will do it.
So that's good. So that's still sitting in the NMQ right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can poke somebody here while we're
yeah,
here.
Maybe, but just don't want to poke Lemby or
yeah, I understand.
Or
I understand. And it has such a complicated history. I can completely understand why it might the fear in someone to want to deal with it, but yeah. Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, so because you asked for users, so we are also using KiCad with the Pocket Science Lab. I don't know, maybe some of you might have seen it. We have put it on the table here on the ground floor. So yeah, and we are moving now to production, to producing more. So we have a few feature requests. I don't know if you have good relationships to upstream. Let's talk later more in details. For example, like as like commercial producers have some specific requirements. For example, some different formats, and so on. So yeah, it's pretty exciting to see like completely open hardware, free hardware to move to production here with KiCad. So the whole chain, yeah, all layers are free.
Yes, yes. And by the way, those who haven't noticed, Keith and I'll be doing a talk tomorrow, I don't remember what time, on how we're using entirely free stuff in the design development of the electronics and the actual rockets that we fly in our rocketry hobby. So that's sort of a use case example and why we do all that and the various ways we've ended up contributing back to Debian as a result. So, yeah. So other thing, you've got, what do you want to jump in on?
Yeah, I'm packaging GHDL, which is the VHDL simulator. I've been doing that for a while. I already uploaded in February, but the package was rejected because of a problem, and that was the 0.35, the last latest stable, the latest release at least. And so the libraries got a bit different, and so I've been redoing the packaging because, well, including the external libraries changed and actually got better, but yeah, I wasn't working that much over the month. I hoped to upload it before today and didn't manage it, but it'll be soon. It's a bit of a complicated package because, yeah, it supports, it's a compiler and it supports
right.
internal backend. It supports LLVM and GCC. And I decided to put them all in. And yeah, so the support that comes with it, which is free software, is VHDL 93. And it needs the official IEEE libraries for VHDL 2008 support, which I then will have to package as a non-free binary, which is which will come later. And since I had to integrate that somehow, it's been a bit longer, but it'll come soon.
Is it all feeling good, or are there things various of us could try to help you with while we're all here at DebConf?
No, I've been working on it myself, and there's a lot of decisions on how to organize it, and well, I'm finalizing on something, and I think once
okay.
I got it uploaded, I think I can share some.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, certainly while we're here at DebConf, if there's things that we can do to help each other out, that would be great. But yeah, other people that are, yeah, you want to jump back in, Noodles? If there are other things people are maintaining or working on or want to talk about, let's just dive right in.
I have a question about the Pocket Science stuff. You're using a PIC24 chip. Do you have an open toolchain for that, or are you using the horrendous MP Lab stuff?
So, actually, yeah, we're using a PIC24. It's not open. Because like we based it on a previous project. So we actually iterated from there step by step. And then also we moved to KiCad, yeah? So we're moving, like, making it open step by step. The idea is, like, maybe next version move to ARM. But, like, actually there are always a lot of small things to improve. And at some point you have to decide to, like, make a version, maybe go into production, because we're also developing software for it. So we want more developers who can, like, work with the device and use the software and so on, and get it out into the education. So everything, like, from making the hardware to, like, getting, like, free education materials for schools, or, like, have startups use it or whatever, that's our idea. But yeah, as you say, and the chip itself is also not free and open, right? So anyone who wants to provide us with a free chip, I know that's a big challenge, right?
Yeah, I hate PICs. The ecosystem is terrible. In particular, I play with the Bus Pirate, which actually ties into some of the logic analyzer stuff, and it's a lovely device, but trying to compile stuff for it because it's a PIC24 is a complete pain.
Yeah, and Keith and I had this interesting experience that we had a device that we built around an AVR at one point, and then we kind of went and looked when we were talking about maybe manufacturing some and realized that we could buy 32-bit ARM core SoCs for less money than we could get either AVRs or PICs for. That's not always true. It depends on how much I/O and what capabilities you need and so forth. But I've been really impressed at how much the price on the ARM stuff has come down. And since that does have a really great free and open tool chain available for most of it, and you know, we figured out how to do source debugging on most of them with OpenOCD and other things, that seems to be a pretty good place to land right now. I'm personally really, really interested in RISC-V, and I'll be showing up at the RISC-V buff tomorrow with a couple of toys, and we can talk more about that in that context. That is sort of peripherally related to electronic stuff, but, or at least to me it is, because to me it's all about getting chips designed, but, you know, yeah, whatever. Other folks have things they want to throw out, talk about, questions?
I've started a project which is all using free software and free tool chains to make some electronic devices. So my keyboard here is all designed by KiCad, and the program, the chip on it is STM32. I use ARM9 EABI GCC for source code compiling. And so it's a pretty free hardware, I think.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I think the development in Linux is getting better and better. Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic for RISC-V. Yeah, I already got one, but I've not started the RISC-V development yet.
Yep.
Since you mentioned, if we have questions, for instance, I'm currently developing, I guess you could call it a peripheral in the sense that it's a board that is meant to be attached to a regular Linux machine, preferably a Debian one. And I was wondering, do you think it makes sense to do things like actually packaging the firmware for the devices in the archive so that people can actually just get an already built version of the firmware from Debian instead of, you know, from me?
So putting binary firmware into Debian is something we've talked about at various times.
I meant putting the source firmware in the archive, and so that people can get built by Debian.
So actually, I mean, the products that Keith and I build are all supported by binaries that are built from the Altos source package, which is in Debian, and we ship the binary firmware for all of our products in the Debian binary package. So at least in our case, that's an example of where we're already doing that. I know that if we start talking about really huge firmware images, then the archive maintainers might have questions about how important it really is to put that on all of the mirror network. But I really like being able to just, you know, apt install Altos anywhere and have all the stuff I need. So I've actually been, we've been talking about at some point, maybe if I ever get around to it, refactoring so that instead of delivering a single binary package from our growing in size source package, we might split it up, because there's really no reason for all those firmware binaries to be rebuilt on all of the architectures, auto builders. But, you know, compared to some of the really large packages in Debian that take forever on the auto builders, it's really not a huge big deal, so we just haven't worried about it very much yet. But I would think, as long as we're not sort of abusing the use of the mirror network, I can't imagine why it would be a real problem. I certainly hope it's not a problem, because I'm doing it. Anybody else?
Sorry, you yep. said the source package was Altos?
Altos.
Okay, I'm cloning it right now.
It's big, sorry.
Hello. Maybe it's not related to most of the people here, but actually I discovered that there's a completely open source tool chain from Synthesis. Maybe I just need to put up some background. There is a brand manufacturer of FPGA that is called Lattice, and they have a series of FPGA board that is called ICE40.
Yep.
And they have the open source torchain, and I have tried the open source torchain that was once listed on the blends that is works pretty awesome. And actually I have burned the RISC-V core on it, and it works like charm. So I'm pretty optimistic that one day we'll have a complete open source torchain to educate our maybe college student or graduate student to do their development. So thank you.
So you've actually burned a working RISC-V implementation using an entirely free tool chain into a Lattice part?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I hope you show up at the RISC-V BOF and talk about that a little bit tomorrow.
For sure, yeah, and I think that it is simple, because the example itself is work out of the box.
Right, so okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
I did not know you could do that with stuff that's in Debian right now, so I'm actually quite excited to hear more about that.
Okay, I will take the development board. Actually, I forgot to bring it here, or I can just show you right away.
Yeah, that's quite okay. Well, there's a RISC-V BOF sometime tomorrow, I think. Or no, is it Saturday? It's Saturday, sorry. It's on Saturday. And if somebody's not going to be here and has RISC-V things to talk about, you know, feel free to come find me, because RISC-V is something I find quite exciting and would love to do more with. Okay, time-wise, I think we're getting relatively close to the end of the time that was allocated. If you got one more thing you want to throw up? I mean, I'm happy to hang around, but I know the video folks would like to wrap up here in another minute or so.
I just want to mention that there is a new electronic simulator packaged, SimulIDE, which is most appropriate for educational purposes.
Okay.
So you can check it out.
I haven't seen it. Okay. Thanks for letting us know. What's the name of it again?
SimulIDE.
SimulIDE. Okay.
IDE. SimulIDE.
Got it. Excellent. Thanks for letting us know about that. Okay. With that, thank you all very much for your time and your attention.